जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद So today we're going to begin our reading, daily reading, up until Gaur Purnima from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Starting with the Adi Lila, chapter number 2. The chapter is entitled, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we'll read the Jai Maharaj. We'll read the summary first and then go on. This chapter explains that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself. Therefore, the Brahman effulgence is the bodily luster of Lord Chaitanya and the localized supersoul situated in the heart of every living entity is his partial representation. The Purusha avatars are also explained in this connection. Mahavishnu is the reservoir of all conditioned souls, but as confirmed in the authoritative scriptures, Lord Krishna is the ultimate fountainhead, the source of numerous plenary expansions, including Narayana, who is generally accepted by Mayavadi philosophers to be the absolute truth. The Lord's manifestation of Prabhava and Vaibhava expansions, as well as partial incarnations and incarnations with delegated powers, are also explained. Lord Krishna's ages of boyhood and youth are discussed, and it is explained that his age at the beginning of youth is his eternal form. The spiritual sky contains innumerable spiritual planets, the Vaikunthas, which are manifestations of the Supreme Lord's internal energy. Innumerable material universes are similarly exhibited by his external energy, and the living entities are manifested by his marginal energy. Lord Krishna Chaitanya is not different from Lord Krishna. He is the cause of all causes. There is no cause beyond him. He is eternal, and his form is spiritual. Lord Chaitanya is directly the Supreme Personality, or is the Supreme Lord Krishna, as the evidence of authoritative scriptures proves. This chapter stresses that a devotee who wishes to advance in Krishna consciousness must have knowledge of Krishna's personal form, his three principal energies, his pastimes, and the relationship of the living entities with him. Text 1. Sri Chaitanya Prabhun Vande Bhalo Piyad Anugrahat Tadannana Matagraha Vaptam Siddhanta Sagaram. Translation. I offer my obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose mercy even an ignorant child can swim across the ocean of conclusive truth, which is full of the crocodiles of various theories. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. By the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even an inexperienced boy with no educational culture can be saved from the ocean of nescience, which is full of various types of philosophical doctrines that are like dangerous aquatic animals. The philosophy of the Buddha, the argumentative presentations of the Jnanis, the yoga systems of Patanjali and Gautama, and the systems of philosophers like Kanada, Kapila, and Dattatreya are dangerous creatures in the ocean of nescience. By the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can have real understanding of the essence of knowledge by avoiding these sectarian views and accepting the lotus feet of Krishna as the ultimate goal of life. Let us all worship Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for his gracious mercy to the conditioned souls. So we continue reading. As we're reading here, if any devotees would like to interject with some comments, please feel free. Oh, my merciful, this is text number 2. Verses are quite long, so some of these we're just going to skip straight to the translation. O my merciful Lord Chaitanya, may the nectarian Ganges waters of your transcendental activities flow on the surface of my desert-like tongue. Beautifying these waters are the lotus flowers of singing, dancing, and loud chanting of Krishna's holy name, which are the pleasure abodes of unalloyed devotees. These devotees are compared to swans, ducks, and bees. The river's flowing produces a melodious sound that gladdens their ears. Report. Our tongues always engage in vibrating, useless sounds that do not help us realize transcendental peace. The tongue is compared to a desert because a desert needs a constant supply of refreshing water to make it fertile and fruitful. Water is the substance most needed in the desert. The transient pleasure derived from mundane topics of art, culture, politics, sociology, dry philosophy, poetry, and so on is compared to a mere drop of water because although such topics have a qualitative feature of transcendental pleasure, they are saturated with the modes of material nature. Therefore, neither collectively nor individually can they satisfy the vast requirements of the desert-like tongue. Despite crying in various conferences, therefore, the desert-like tongue continues to be parched. For this reason, people from all parts of the world must call for the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are compared to swans swimming around the beautiful lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or bees humming around his lotus feet in transcendental pleasure, searching for honey. The dryness of material happiness cannot be moistened by so-called philosophers who cry for Brahman, liberation, and similar dry speculative objects. The urge of the soul proper is different. The soul can be solaced only by the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his many bona fide devotees, who never leave the lotus feet of the Lord to become imitation Mahaprabhus, but all cling to his lotus feet like bees that never leave a honey-soaked lotus flower. Lord Chaitanya's movement of Krishna consciousness is full of dancing and singing about the pastimes of Lord Krishna. It is compared herein to the pure waters of the Ganges, which are full of lotus flowers. The enjoyers of these lotus flowers are the pure devotees, who are like bees and swans. They chant like the flowing of the Ganges, the river of the celestial kingdom. The author desires such sweetly flowing waves to cover his tongue. He humbly compares himself to materialistic persons who always engage in dry talk from which they derive no satisfaction. If they were to use their dry tongues to chant the holy names of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, as exemplified by Lord Chaitanya, they would taste sweet nectar and enjoy life. All these purports are just unbelievable. The verses. And you can see Prabhupada is definitely swimming in the nectar of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. As Prabhupada explains here so nicely, that the devotees, they chant like the flowing of the Ganges. The other day, Maharaj was discussing how, Chabataka Maharaj was discussing how the devotees take a bath in the Ganga during their parikramas and how refreshing it is. And anyone who's been to Mayapur and knows that, might know that sometimes the the air is just the general atmosphere is saturated with Krishna consciousness, certainly, but after going on parikram, you get just exhausted. And to take bath in the Ganges is such a pleasure. It's such a refreshing experience. And Prabhupada chants, comments here that the chanting of the devotees is like the flowing of the Ganges. Certainly, kirtan is like that, but also their preaching, as Prabhupada is proving here in his purport, that just by hearing his words, it's refreshing. Just like if you would be taking bath in the Ganges, it satisfies that a parched feeling, as Prabhupada points out here also, that the materialistic persons, they're always engaging in dry talk from which they derive no satisfaction. It's a fact that in the material world, people are discussing so many different things, as the Bhagavatam explains. They're talking about so many thousands and thousands of different topics. Generally, it's about sense gratification and love and lost love and I wish I had love and etc. It just goes on and on. It's the same old thing. It's like a record that gets stuck in a little groove there, with no satisfaction. If they were to simply use their dry tongues to chant the holy name of the Lord, as exemplified by Lord Chaitanya, they would taste sweet nectar and enjoy life. The fact of the matter is that with all of these other discussions, there is no satisfaction. But by discussing the philosophy and describing the beautiful pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's no doubt that one will experience nectar and satisfaction in this life, as again exemplified by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada. And as Prabhupada points out here, the urge of the soul proper is different. The soul can be solaced only by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his many bona fide devotees who never leave the lotus feet of the Lord. So we can't be satisfied by any other process. Again, we can try different philosophical ideas or speculative processes, but until and unless one comes to the process of devotional service, Krishna bhakti, the soul never becomes satisfied. There, always there'll be something missing, something else that we just haven't experienced or we'll continue looking for. Text number 3. All glories to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Sri Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Chandra and all glories to the devotees of Lord Gauranga. Let me describe the meaning of the third verse of the first 14. It is an auspicious vibration that describes the absolute truth. Translation. What the Upanishads describe as the impersonal Brahman is but the effulgence of his body, and the Lord known as the Supersoul is but his localized plenary portion. Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna himself, full with six opulences. He is the absolute truth, and no other truth is greater than or equal to him. Purport. The compilers of the Upanishads speak very highly of the impersonal Brahman. The Upanishads, which are considered the most elevated portion of the Vedic literatures are meant for persons who desire to get free from material association and who therefore approach a bona fide spiritual master for enlightenment. The prefix Upa indicates that one must receive knowledge about the absolute truth from a spiritual master. One who has faith in his spiritual master actually receives transcendental instruction. And as his attachment for material life slackens, he is able to advance on the spiritual path. Knowledge of the transcendental science of the Upanishads can free one from the entanglement of existence in the material world. And when thus liberated, one can be elevated to the spiritual kingdom of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by advancement in spiritual life. The beginning of spiritual enlightenment is realization of impersonal Brahman. Such realization is effected by gradual negation of material variegatedness. Impersonal Brahman realization is the partial, distant experience of the absolute truth that one achieves through the rational approach. It is compared to one's seeing a hill from a distance and taking it to be a smoky cloud. A hill is not a smoky cloud, but it appears to be one from a distance because of our imperfect vision. In imperfect or smoky realization of the absolute truth, spiritual variegatedness is conspicuous by its absence. This experience is therefore called Advaitavad, or realization of the oneness of the absolute. The impersonal glowing effulgence of Brahman consists only of the personal bodily rays of the Supreme Godhead, Sri Krishna. Since Sri Gaurasundar, or Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is identical with Sri Krishna himself, the Brahman effulgence consists of the rays of his transcendental body. Similarly, the Supersoul, which is called the Paramatma, is a plenary representation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Antaryami, the Supersoul, in everyone's heart, is the controller of all living entities. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 15:15, wherein Lord Krishna says, Sarvasya Cham Hridi Sanavishta. I am situated in everyone's heart. The Bhagavad Gita 5:29 also states, Bhoktaram Yagatapasam Sarva Lokamaheshwaram, indicating that the Supreme Lord, acting in his expansion as the Supersoul, is the proprietor of everything. Similarly, the Brahma Sanghita 5:35 states, Adantarasta Paramani Vachanantarastam. The Lord is present everywhere within the heart of every living entity and within each and every atom as well. Thus, by his Supersoul feature, the Lord is all pervading. Furthermore, Lord Chaitanya is also the master of all wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation because he is Sri Krishna himself. He is described as Purna, or complete. In the feature of Lord Chaitanya, the Lord is an ideal renouncer, just as Sri Ram is an ideal king. Lord Chaitanya accepted the order of sannyas and exemplified exceedingly wonderful principles in his own life. No one can compare to him in the order of sannyas. Although in Kali Yuga acceptance of the sannyas order is generally forbidden, Lord Chaitanya accepted it because he is complete in renunciation. Others cannot imitate him, but can only follow in his footsteps as far as possible. Those who are unfit for this order of life are strictly forbidden by the injunctions of the Shastras to accept it. Lord Chaitanya, however, is complete in renunciation as well as all other opulences. He is therefore the highest principle of the absolute truth. By an analytical study of the truth of Lord Chaitanya, one will find that he is not different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. No one is greater than or equal to him. In Bhagavad Gita 7:7, Lord Krishna says to Arjuna, Matak Paratanam Nanyat Kinchirasti Dananjaya. O conqueror of wealth, Arjuna, there is no truth superior to me. Thus it is here confirmed that there is no truth higher than Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya. The impersonal Brahman is the goal of those who cultivate the study of books of transcendental knowledge, and the Supersoul is the goal of those who perform the yoga practice. One who knows the Supreme Personality of Godhead surpasses realization of both Brahman and Paramatma, because Bhagavan is the ultimate platform of absolute knowledge. The personality of Godhead is the complete form of Satchit Ananda, full life, knowledge, and bliss. By realization of the sat portion of the complete whole, unlimited existence, one realizes the impersonal Brahman aspect of the Lord. By realization of the chit portion of the complete whole, unlimited knowledge, one can realize the localized aspect of the Lord, the Paramatma. But neither of these partial realizations of the complete whole can help one realize Ananda, or complete bliss. Without such realization of Ananda, knowledge of the Absolute Truth is incomplete. This verse of the Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is confirmed by a parallel statement in the Tattva Sandarbha by Srila Jiva Goswami. In the ninth part of the Tattva Sandarbha, it is said that the Absolute Truth is sometimes approached as impersonal Brahman, which, although spiritual, is only a partial representation of the Absolute Truth, Narayana, the predominating deity in Vaikuntha. Is to be known as an expansion of Sri Krishna. But Sri Krishna is the Supreme Absolute Truth, the object of the transcendental love of all living entities. So, this chapter, its purpose is to establish that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is non-different than Sri Krishna himself. And which is, when you consider it, quite incredible that only 500 years ago the Lord himself appeared. And typically, when you speak to people about God or His coming, there's really not that much information. And either it's a speculation, or it's or there's nothing there. But in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's the purpose, again, is to establish how God himself has appeared just even recently within this world. And we can understand him and appreciate him simply by taking part in this Sankirtan movement. Simply by chanting the holy names, one can enter into that very intimate understanding, very exclusive experience, actually. We don't have to engage in, as Prabhupada was pointing out earlier in a previous purport, we don't have to engage in speculation or unnecessary austerities or all sorts of fruitive work. Sometimes it's preached that if one simply does good work, the Lord, God is compelled to help or respond. These things are actually negated by the person himself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Simply by engaging in the Sankirtan movement, Lord Chaitanya proved by his own example, as Prabhupada points out here, that as exemplified by Lord Chaitanya, they would taste sweet nectar and enjoy life simply by engaging in this process of chanting the holy names. And again, Chaitanya Charitamrita points out or shows as example many of Lord Chaitanya's followers, how they would come from different sectors of society, but simply by engaging in this process became great exalted personalities. And we're seeing that practically also in this Krishna consciousness movement, that devotees from all over the world, from all different sections of society and different cultures, are appreciating this Krishna consciousness movement or the process of Krishna consciousness. It's like I was appreciating yesterday how in the temple room during this wedding ceremony we had some guests from outside, and they were taking photos of all the devotees who were participating in the function. And one of their comments was, as we were discussing, was that there's people here from all sectors of society, from all different cultures, and they're all appreciating Krishna consciousness. They're all appreciating this process, and which was a very very profound realization. How Lord Chaitanya is so merciful, and his representative, Srila Prabhupada, has been so merciful that they've created a situation where people from all walks of life can appreciate spiritual life and actually find some sweet nectar, and as Prabhupada writes here, and enjoy life, and can do the most incredible things. It's like I was discussing this morning with my wife that it's incredible how by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, the devotees were able to go out. I don't know, I just a thought came to my mind that how in the world in material society would one go out and take so many risks in preaching, or do so many different things which in the material sphere or in the material realm would be impossible. Like Rameshwar Prabhu was describing the other day, how devotees were able to produce so many literatures by Srila Prabhupada's command, and how even now devotees are able to go out and preach to so many conditioned souls, and sometimes do the most remarkable things, go into dangerous situations, or sometimes dress themselves up in the strangest ways that you would never do normally. Again, I remember years ago the devotees, I can't imagine going out and wearing a wig and discussing with someone about Krishna consciousness, about spiritual life. But we did it, and it was it's just remarkable. I have no words for it. It's unbelievable. Or again, go into a young lady going into a bar in the late evening and distributing books. It's unheard of. But again, this is all by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. The devotees are able to do these incredible things and experience pleasure from it, on top of it. that it wasn't just out of some sentiment or forced situation, but voluntarily going out and preaching and taking so many risks. So this is all, again, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and which proves that by his mercy, even the most unqualified persons can do remarkable things. We'll just read a couple more verses here. Translation. Impersonal Brahman, the localized Paramatma, and the personality of Godhead are three subjects. And the glowing effulgence, the partial manifestation, and the original form are their three respective predicates. A predicate always follows the subject, its subject. Now I shall explain the meaning of this verse according to the revealed scriptures. Krishna, the original form of the Supreme or the personality of Godhead, is the summum bonum of the all-pervading Vishnu. He is all-perfect knowledge and all-perfect bliss. He is the supreme transcendence. He whom Srimad Bhagavatam describes as the son of Nanda Maharaj has descended to earth as Lord Chaitanya. Purport. According to the rules of rhetorical arrangement for efficient composition in literature, a subject should be mentioned before its predicate. The Vedic literature frequently mentions Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, and therefore these three terms are widely known as the subjects of transcendental understanding. But it is not widely known that what is approached as the impersonal Brahman is the effulgence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's transcendental body. Nor is it widely known that the Supersoul or Paramatma is only a partial representation of Lord Chaitanya, who is identical with Bhagavan himself. Therefore, the descriptions of Brahman as the effulgence of Lord Chaitanya, the Paramatma as his partial representation, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna as identical with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must be verified by evidence from authoritative Vedic literatures. The author wants to establish first that the essence of the Vedas is the Vishnu Tattva, the Absolute Truth, Vishnu, the all-pervading Godhead. The Vishnu Tattva has different categories, of which the highest is Lord Krishna. The ultimate Vishnu Tattva, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita and throughout the Vedic literature. In Srimad Bhagavatam, the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is described as Nandasuta, the son of King Nanda. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that Nandasuta has again appeared as Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he bases this statement on his understanding that the Vedic literature concludes there is no difference between Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This the author will prove. If it is thus proved that Sri Krishna is the origin of all tattvas, namely Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, and that there is no difference between Sri Krishna and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it will not be difficult to understand that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also the same origin of all tattvas, the same absolute truth as he is revealed to students of different realizations, is called Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So we'll end there. Are there any questions or comments? None? Okay, then we'll end there, and tomorrow we're starting at text number 10. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. It's chapter 2, text number 10.